This is a replay of the Thursday night, July 3rd WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
To spend together. This is assuming I don't spontaneously combust, and there's reason to believe I might. So I've been sitting here in the studio for half an hour, absolutely ready for you. Got all the bumpers of your requests picked out, found them all, including some Whispers record I wanted to play, about three of them, because after all, Walter Scott died. Yeah, one of the Scott twins of the originators of the Whispers. So I thought we'd do that. And John was screening the calls. In fact, Jim's already up, wants to tell us a story. And in front of my very eyes, right after the weather and my teas, all was fine until that, I watched a computer die in front of my eyes. Now, it's not just any computer, it's the screening computer. All right, so, and just now, if I seem like there was a pregnant pause in me getting on the air, that's because I was on my hands and knees trying to recycle this, but I'm realizing that recycling this is absolutely not going to work. And so I do have a backup, and I have no idea if it's even programmed. Yeah, I know that. What good is a backup if it's not ready? Well, it may or may not be. We're gonna be finding out here, I think, in moments. So, apologies in advance. Yeah.
Would you like some notes?
So, would I like some notes? I can't put anybody on the air.
I know. Would you like some notes?
Of who's on the air? But how do I get them on the air, you see?
I write it down and give it to you.
Yeah, so that's who it is, but how do I put them on the air? You see, I need this computer to access the phones. Yeah, now John comes in and says, oh, I get it. But since you're here, and I hate to put you on your hands and knees here, but here's the deal. I'm going to have to, well, actually, one of our requests, Chuck in Downers Grove, very much wanted to hear The Crests, wanted to hear Sweetest One. And you know what, Chuck? I think you're going to hear all of it.
Sweetest one, sweetest one,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and the crests are, in fact, my magic ticket here, because I do believe that I have fixed the problem, but I will set it up. Bob is in the control room. He's taking care of me tonight. And so we'll take care of this first and then be back in moments here with a computer that works, I can just tell, on WGN Radio.
You can cry me a river, cry me a river. I cried a river over you. Now you say you're sorry for being so untrue. Well, you can cry me a river, cry me a river. I cried a river over you. You drove me, nearly drove me out of my head, while you never shed a tear. Remember, I remember all
WGN
that
Radio,
you said.
I'm Raleigh James, Julie London, and I can't remember who requested it. It might have been James on the South Side, but this is one where I wrote the title down, and because I was willing to play it because I like it, but I don't remember who it was. 1955 on Liberty, and of course, Julie London had been married to Joe Friday, and whose name is escaping me right now, but then they got a divorce, and she married Bobby Troup, and I think Cry Me a River was probably during that split time, though it probably had absolutely nothing to do with it, but just a little background there. All right, so we have achieved computer health with yet another one. Interestingly, I'm at the point where I'm replacing 16, count them, 16 computers. I've got to reformat them and reprogram them, though, because when I buy them new, they're new to me, but they're obviously not new when I'm buying them in batches of 20. I said to John, oh, I got time. But it's almost like the universe is saying, you don't have much time, Raleigh, but they're going to fail one by one. So, but fortunately, a spare was on hand and all is good. And Red from Chicago called back. At the end of the show last night, I said, call me back at the start of the show and we will continue this conversation. So making good on my promise, Red in Chicago, thanks for calling and welcome back to WGN.
Yes, thank you. You asked me to talk about Black propaganda.
Yeah, because we started talking about that on the air, and of course I know exactly what that was. We can get a gray propaganda too, but most people are probably not as savvy on certain facets of World War II, so go for it.
Yes, or just in generally, they still use black propaganda. It's all, you know, it's just propaganda that is kind of, it's not obvious who it's coming from. It's kind of subtly laid on people. So here's a good example of some in World War II. The English had a radio station that was broadcasting programs to Germany.
Uh-huh.
And it was not, you know, it didn't say we're English. The broadcaster, the guy on the show, was ostensibly a German.
Right.
A kind of an elderly, highly conservative, Prussian, crude, vulgar, foul-mouthed mm-hmm. guy who was a Nazi. He's kind of a Nazi, and he hated Churchill, and he hated the English. And he would come on the show. They called him the chief, the
right.
German for the chief. And he'd come on, and he'd curse and swear, and he'd call Churchill a drunk, and chew-ridden drunk and stuff like that.
The worst thing, by the way, the absolute worst thing was when he impersonated deceased German soldiers to send messages to their families.
And in between,
he was playing music that was banned in Germany.
I think so. I'm not sure.
Jazz. He was playing jazz, and they didn't like that. It was perfect.
Are you sure it was the chief who was doing that?
Yes, I'm pretty sure it was the chief.
Okay. And so people, Germans, were hearing this stuff, and they thought it was a real, genuine guy.
Right.
And the purpose of it, the whole basic purpose of it was to undermine the belief in this SS, to make Germans doubt the honesty of the SS, the secret state police people, the Gestapo people.
Right.
And so he would never say anything against Hitler. Hitler was like a hero.
Right.
But he would talk about this, these SS guys who were stealing money and living off the fat of the land and having huge, meals with stuffed with food and sexual orgies.
Yeah.
It got into kind of pornography almost, literally. And some high level guy in England, very high in the government, complained about it. Said, "Oh, they're just," and it got in the newspapers eventually, I think, saying, "Oh, they're playing. They got pornography, and we should be ashamed of ourselves." So eventually, he was killed off. Apparently, I mean, the chief was killed off allegedly when the SS or the Gestapo kicked in his door and shot him with a machine gun.
Right.
Allegedly. I was like, you've heard this stuff.
I have heard this. Now, interestingly, while the best incidents were against the Germans, no doubt about it, the British were equal opportunity players. If you remember Shingles Street, which was reported all over America in the press, and it was a total fabrication. And it was, British black propaganda. And what they were trying to do there was encourage more U.S. support for the U.K. So they were talking about how the British won, beat the Germans in Shingle Street, and this, of course, it was totally false. And then the other thing with Germans that is probably less known, and I'm sure you know this because you've studied this, is the propaganda leaflets that were targeting African American servicemen, falsely claiming they'd be treated better by the Nazis if they surrendered.
Uh-huh.
Now, but my question is, who would believe that given the Aryan race? But, nonetheless, it was deception. It was manipulation. It was psychological warfare. But it was also, in some cases, just funny as hell.
They had this great propaganda, which is not so hidden.
Right.
And an example of that was the British were broadcasting from England. They were broadcasting a priest, a real genuine Catholic priest, who was talking to people in Europe, and he was anti-Nazi. And the only really dishonest thing or tricky thing was he was pretending to broadcast from Europe, and he wasn't.
Right.
He was in England. So, and as was the there's the chief guy run by Sefton.
Sefton Delmer. Yes, Sefton Delmer was the chief.
It.
Absolutely. And of course, he was head of the PWE. But yes, it was his finest moment as far as I'm concerned. I loved it. Obviously, I didn't hear it at the time, but it was just brilliant. And sure, why not? And there were, absolutely why not? And it worked.
It worked. Now here's something else. A really wacky story from World War II. I think everyone would find this interesting. After we got in the war, all these people were angry at Japan, especially, and a whole bunch of they came out of the woodwork. Thousands of people wrote letters suggesting weapons and things to use against the Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these were taken seriously. And one that was taken seriously was this guy, American guy who had lived in Japan for years and years and said he was a scholar and an expert on the culture. He knew that the Japanese have a mythical animal that's kind of a magical fox that creeps around at night and glows, I think.
Yeah.
If you see one, if you see it, it's bad luck. It's like seeing a black cat is bad luck. So it was a very ominous, unfortunate thing to see one of these magical foxes.
Yeah.
So this guy had the idea that we should get a whole bunch of foxes.
Oh, no.
And then paint them with phosphorescent paint so they glow at night. And then somehow get them to Japan and let them loose out in the outdoors, you know, so people would see them, peasants and farmers and whatever. People would see these things, and then it would scare them, and they would spread doom and gloom, you know, psychological warfare to weaken the Japanese, mind.
It's great. So it was Operation Fantasia.
Quite possible, yeah. I forget the name of it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was, because I thought they found two foxes in China and they were going to spray paint them. But I don't know. But that was the deal. And of course, this is the OSS deal. And Ed Salinger, who was really strange to be in the OSS because he was an import export guy in Tokyo before the war, and so he's the one who not only learned the language and collected the art and stuff, but he studied the superstitions. Long before the war, he was just fascinated. So the OSS said, "You're our guy." And so Operation Fantasia, so he pitched them in 1943 to destroy Japanese morale. And so, a Shinto portent of doom and the fox-shaped spirits with the magical abilities or whatever. But like I say, he wanted to get these foxes from China and spray paint them. But as far as I know, that he never actually did it.
Oh, well, according to what I read, I've just read a book about the OSS.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got it here, and it's about all these weird stuff they did. And this, according to this account, they got a bunch of foxes in America, and they painted them and saw if they would glow at night, and they did. It worked pretty good.
Yeah, it was radium,
and
right.
Then,
right. You know,
and then,
they were going to kill the foxes. They didn't realize what radium would do, but yes, it would glow.
Radium? Oh, okay. That's not what I... Okay. Maybe you heard something different than me. I didn't...
Well, the paint company was the United States Radium Corporation.
Yeah.
Well, if it's the United States Radium Corporation, how did they make it glow in the dark? You know, well, obviously. So...
Okay. Because I thought it was a different type of glow paint. But anyway, they do have paint that... stuff that glows at night for a while,
right?
You know, for a few hours, and then it fades. So, and then when sunlight light hits it, it gets its energy back, and then it'll glow again.
I got to interrupt you because you're going to have to hold on, because believe it or not, WGN is in the news. I blew the break again, so don't go away.
Okay.
After we're back, we'll pick that up, and we'll also get into the vet from the Central Park Zoo. So hang on, don't go away. All right, fun to talk with Red. And yes, of course I blew the break, and Bob's there to keep me honest and to keep everybody back on schedule.
Wealth and power. Because
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and those are the Whispers. Yeah, the Scott twins, Walter and Scotty. And Walter now just passing in the last week, giving us a chance to play what we should play more often. That was 1969 on Soul Clock. I always say the Whispers were best on Dory, but their Soul Clock period actually had some good stuff. All right, so we're getting back to the Foxes, and if you haven't heard these stories, it's one of the more unbelievable things. Now, Red, who we're talking with, thinks they actually made it to Japan. But what happened here before they did is hilarious. So back to Red. All right. So
Okay. I don't think they made it to Japan.
No.
But they did. These American foxes were captured. I think they were wild foxes, I think. Maybe not.
Well, actually, the first one was a raccoon. And this was the guy who was the veterinarian for the Central Park Zoo. And he thought he'd seen it all. And they came to him, and the raccoon was more than willing. He could have his fur painted as long as he got more food. So they had the raccoon under lock and key, and the paint stayed on after several days. So, this was a good sound. So now they decided that they would try it with the foxes. And this is where it comes in with the OSS. They're going to release 30 glowing foxes in Rock Creek Park in D.C. to get the reaction of locals, figuring if this foxes spooked Americans, well, it would scare the Japanese even more. Well, this this terrified
people.
Well, because I love these kind of things. I mean, they almost drowned them in the water. I mean, we could go on and on. It's hilarious what these people did. Yes.
Yeah,
so
I heard what I read. Part of what my version that I read was they had these foxes painted up with the glow paint.
Right.
And at one point, they wanted to see if they could swim to shore.
Yes.
If you could drop them from a submarine or something.
Right.
And they could swim to the mainland. And so they tested that in Chesapeake Bay.
That's right.
Some island.
Yep.
And they all made it to the island, but a lot of the paint washed off.
Well,
and I think
it's when they got to shore, and then what didn't wash off, they kind of licked off and all that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I don't know how they were planning to release them, but what happened was before they did, they're on this boat, they're in the middle of the bay, the foxes are pacing around. When they cut the engines, the foxes become frantic. And so at that point, one by one, the personnel are just throwing them overboard, figuring whatever, sink or swim.
Yeah.
And they swam, like you say, but when they got to the beach, within minutes of on the beach, the animals had licked off the rest of the paint.
Yeah, yeah. You read more detailed stuff about this than I have.
Because I thought this was so great. I mean, if they taught history this way in school, I would have known what was going on, but they never did.
Yeah. So the other thing is, how do you get them to Japan? So, I mean, the water method isn't going to work very well. So you could fly them over and drop them in little parachutes, but that would, obviously that would be complicated and it might not work and the parachute might trap them or, they die in a parachute up in the tree or something. So it's an impractical thing. Plus it's harebrained anyway, like this.
Well, yeah.
Glowing foxes terrify everyone.
And what comes next is more harebrained, so I'll let you go with that.
Well, okay, here's one I can think of. This is much later in the 60s or 70s.
Oh, no, I'm still in Japan.
Oh.
No, I'm still there. What they did after they disregarded the foxes, they thought about minks and muskrats and coyotes, and then Salinger gets nuts, and they find a memo at some Army Education Center in Pennsylvania. And talked about a potent manifestation of the fox legend. And the version was that it terrified the Japanese even more. It appears there's a form of a fox bearing death's head on his crown. So they decided they were going to have a fake fox, a stuffed fox with a human skull affixed to its head. I'm not making this up. They developed this mechanical device for raising and lowering the jaw so it looked like the head was opening and closing its mouth. And they used the same radium paint as the live foxes. And so then they wanted to, and then they thought, well, not a stuffed fox. Let's do taxidermied fox bodies in black cloth painting with glowing bones. And the Japanese will look up and they'll see floating, glowing fox bodies covered in glowing bones. Bottom line is that the fox-possessed human beings didn't exactly work out either. I thought that was a great...
know more about this.
Well, yeah, because yeah, it's, I mean, you know, and they were listening to this guy. That's the part I loved. So yes, yeah. Stanley Lovell was the guy who oversaw this for the OSS.
Yes.
And I mean, he's listening to Salinger. Okay, well, let's get heads. You know, it's just hilarious to me. So, yes.
Okay. And he invented Who Me.
Yeah.
You know what that, remember about that?
Yeah.
That stinky stuff that smelled like fecal matter.
Right.
And they were going to give it to little boys in China, and then the little boys would go up to Japanese officers and spray them with this stuff to cause them to lose face or something like that.
Yeah, the stench of war, yes. A stink bomb. I know. That was I don't think anything came of that either.
Well, okay, what I heard was they did make it, they sent it out, but they didn't get any feedback as to how what happened after it was presumably given to little kids in cities in China. So, you know about the bat bombs, don't you?
The what?
The bat bombs.
Oh, absolutely. The bat bombs are well known.
And I think they may work, had they been gone ahead with it instead of canceling it,
yeah.
I think it might have worked pretty good.
Right.
Maybe, you know.
Right. No, absolutely. They would be hibernating bats and they'd drop them over Japanese cities. Yeah.
They had some of these bats and they were testing in some way near an Air Force base a big Air Force base in New Mexico.
Of course.
And some of them accidentally got over to the hangars of the Air Force base and they started big fires there. And airplanes were damaged and
sure.
It was a big fire.
Sure.
So that was just an accident. So maybe it would have worked in Japan. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then, but let me mention the CIA thing.
Yeah.
In the 60s or 70s, someone had the idea that you could take a cat and you could put little microphones in the cat, under the skin, in the head or somewhere in the body of the cat. And then you get a cat that's wired up for sound, and then you send it, you sneak it into the Russian embassy in Washington. Some Russian will see the cat on the grounds. That's how they're going to do it. Get it on the grounds of the embassy, and it's a stray cat, and then some kind-hearted Russian will see it and say, oh, what a cute cat, and take it indoors. And then the cat will overhear maybe sensitive words spoken, and it's going to have a little antenna. I think the antenna is in the tail, and the CIA will be listening in. So they got this cat, they tested it, they put the microphones in it, and the batteries for the radio and all this stuff, and they were going to launch it. They did launch it across street from the embassy, from the Russian embassy.
And
it started walking across the street to the embassy, to the fences there where it's climbed through, and some truck came along and ran it over.
It was a taxi. It was a taxi. This project, by the way, it had a name, Acoustic Kitty. And this cost this cost the government $20 million for the cat to be run over by a cab.
Yeah. There's a lot of crazy stuff.
Oh, I know. Well, and that's where it really makes you wonder all the conspiracy theories, some of the stuff that the CIA has supposedly done. Maybe they did. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, here's something I remember. I read about this like 30 years ago, so I read about it two or three times, but it wasn't detailed. It was just a brief thing. Back in the 50s or 60s, maybe 50s, the government, for some reason or other, wanted to make the Russians think that we had a secret power source of some sort, mm-hmm. kind of like atomic nuclear power, only different. It'd be something else. So they had this plan to build this a secret plant mm-hmm. in Wyoming that was supposedly going to be the place where the secret power source was being developed. And I think I heard that they were going to spend maybe many millions of dollars, $500 million or something, huge amount of money, to pull off this like hoax. Because we didn't have a secret power source, but we wanted the Russians to think that we did. So, you know, that's kind of weird.
Well, and then the Russians were pretty good to us, too, because they convinced us that they had mind control experiments going on. And there's a whole thing on the Russian mind control. And so the CIA came up with MK Ultra. And that's where you can start to get into the real, conspiracies. And who knows, but the Stargate program and all that. So, fascinating times, absolutely fascinating. And if they would teach this in school, kids would pay attention to history.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's that's all I can think of right now.
Well, I'm so glad you called, and I hope you will again.
Well, thank you.
All right. Good to talk to you, Red.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593. And MK Ultra, man, we could talk about that all night. All right. I don't know why MK Ultra made me think of Leah in Marcus Hook, but I know she's one for a good conspiracy. But here is the deal. I got an email from Leah. A lot of you asked why she hadn't called, and the email did not address any of that. What the email said is Fran is back in the hospital. And I had not heard that, and so keep Fran in your prayers, and I don't know that Gary's listening, but Gary, if you are, please call us and let us know how Fran is doing, because we care and we want to know. All right, so, wait a minute. I just looked on the screen. This is Fran in Austin. Oh, man. Seek and ye shall find. All right, Fran, this is wonderful. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Man, oh, man, oh, man. This is great. All right.
I'm sitting there listening to you saying that, and I'm like, Raleigh, look at your screen.
Yeah, well, you know, right now, with the computer and everything else right now, that's sort of a phantom thing. But anyway, yes.
Right.
yes. So tell me, why were you in the hospital?
Oh, God. Well, Tuesday night, I was... Actually, it started out to be a great day. I had gone to... Actually, I had gone to my cardiologist's office to see the nurse practitioner about some problems I was having with a couple of the medications and, so forth. And that all worked out well, and I was able to walk to the front of the building without the walkers, and I was happy about that. Everything was good.
All right.
Anyway,
I got to make you hold on. I don't mean to do this, but we've got Bob in master control, and he's going to slay me if I don't do this. So hang on. Don't go away, and we'll be back on WGN Radio. Oh, the heck with the bumper. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I'm more interested in getting back to Fran and the story. All right. So in the cardiologist's office Tuesday and seeing the nurse practitioner, and pick it up from there.
Okay, and everything was fine, except that on the way home, my gums started bleeding. And I am on a blood thinner, so I was a little worried about that. So we went back, and everything was still fine. But anyway, I'm making a long story longer than it needs to be. Tuesday afternoon, I started feeling real weird. My legs were hurting more than usual, and they've been hurting, pretty bad. But I thought, just that I've walked more and so forth today. And then I just started to feel that real, some pains in my chest again and some lightheadedness. And actually, I was starting to listen to Tuesday night's show when I was thinking about calling. And I thought, but I kept saying, I'll be okay. I'll be okay.
Right.
And, Gary says, you need to go to the emergency. No, I'll be okay.
Right.
And I didn't want to call 911 because, I've called there a couple of times lately. I don't want to be considered a frequent flyer.
Right. Right.
And all of that. And, you know, and then I was afraid they were going to, you know, not take Gary with us. And the idea of going to the hospital
without him. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. It just terrifies me. You know, especially because I wasn't really feeling on top of things. And I thought, you know, I need him there to make sure that, you know.
Yeah, that you live. Exactly. I understand.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I was actually, you know, I was like, oh, my, you know. So I was trying to just not think about it. Don't think about it. No, go away.
Yeah.
And then we were going to take, then we were going to go and we were going to take a Lyft or an Uber. And I stood up and I said, I think we're going to have to call 911 because I just felt so out of it.
Yeah.
Spinny-headed and just, you know, and my legs were just hurting like, you know,
yeah,
like crazy and my ankle. You know. So I called and got some very nice paramedics. So they checked and they said, well, your electrolytes are kind of off and yeah, you're, in the meantime, I was trying to figure out how to use this talking blood pressure monitor that I just got.
Mm-hmm.
And my physical therapist had showed me how to use it and everything, but I somehow or other messed it up where I couldn't get it back together the right way.
Right.
And then when I took my blood pressure and stuff, I thought I got it back the right way, and it was way up there. So anyway, they took me in, and they x-rayed my, they did scans of my legs.
Yep.
And, you know, they did a lot more than they, you know, they had done before about that. But they didn't find any clots in my legs, which is a good thing.
Yes.
But what I'm, and they didn't see any kind of, I told them about my toe.
Right.
They didn't see anything,
yeah,
amiss there. And, but the thing is like, okay, but I'm not making this up.
No, you're not. But it's, you coming know, from somewhere. This,
yeah, exactly. And, it was the same. So there was, my EKG was a little bit different. There were some differences. And so they decided to, keep me in and do, oh God, I keep forgetting the name of this, test I did. I keep forgetting the name of it. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to check and make sure that the stent that I have was not clogged.
Mm-hmm.
And so forth. So I had to get, what, Gary? Angiogram. Thank
oh,
you,
sure.
Gary.
Or an angiogram. All right.
Yeah. Okay. So they did that and they didn't find anything wrong.
Good.
So, you know, I mean, that's all good that they didn't find anything wrong, but. And then, of course, in the meantime, while I'm in there, my gums start bleeding again, and there are little, like, stringy clots of blood in my mouth, scaring me to death because,
yeah,
you know, I'm taking these. And, you know, the nurse was very nice, but he's, you know, we'll monitor it, you know, was basically all he said. And, you know, I'm really, they have me on this stuff. Like, it's a generic of Plavix.
Right.
And, you know, I couldn't get him to take me off of that because, you know, he said, no, you know, we have to keep...
They're afraid of clots.
Clear. We have to keep, you know, free of clots and all that.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm like, you know, what do? I cannot just get over here whenever I...
You start to bleed everywhere. You know, no, exactly.
Yeah. And I don't... you know, like with my mouth, it seemed to me like it was just bleeding profusely. And, you know, the nurse said, well, yeah, you know, there's some blood, but it's, you know, basically, I said, okay, I don't want to lie here and bleed to death. And he said, you're not going to bleed to death.
Right.
But,
right.
Anyway, basically all that, and there's nothing really wrong. Or they couldn't figure out, you know, what was wrong. There was nothing wrong with the stent. My electrolytes were off. My blood pressure was up when I went in there. But, of course, you know, now because they couldn't find, I think, you know, it wasn't that they were
hang on again. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
Stay right where you are.
All right.
Stop bleeding. And we'll be back right after this on WGN Radio.
Got me the strangest woman. Believe me, this chick's no cinch. But I really get her going when I take out my big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues. The band that plays the blues. She just loves my big 10-inch record of her favorite blues. Teaser, I gave her a little pinch, but she said, now stop that jiving and get out that big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues. Well, the band that plays the blues. She just loves my big 10-inch record of her favorite blues. I cover her with kisses when we're in a lover's clinch, and when she gets all excited, she begs for my big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues. Well, the band that plays the blues. She just loves that big 10-inch record of her favorite blues.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I just saw on the screen we're going to hook to Johnny Go, and it says Bull Moose Jackson. So I played the one we all know so well. Yeah, On King, 1951. And actually, it's interesting. Moose did not write that. Fred Weissmantle did. And if you're saying, who's Fred Weissmantle? Well, you should know, actually. He was originally an arranger with Glenn Miller, and then he was working with George Paxton. If that name doesn't sound familiar, let me just tell you that he started Co-Ed Records. Yeah, the label that the Crests were on. And he hired Weissmantle to be head of A&R, which he was through 1966. And he also managed some artists and was a songwriter. But he wrote a big 10-inch. So there you have it. 888-876-5593. Now, back to Fran. Now, you know with your gums what they call it behind your back. It's known as a nuisance bleed. And that's true for gums and nosebleeds because they're two things that are very common with blood thinners. But, and here's the big but, they're very common when it's minor. But when it's a lot of bleeding, this is not a good sign. So how much blood are we talking?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it seemed like a lot to me, but the nurse didn't seem to be overly concerned with it. He said, you know, I'll make sure that, you know, we'll monitor it. But every time the nurse came, you know, every time they came in, I said, you know, we would do whatever we needed to do. And then I would say, could you please look at this?
Yeah.
And, you know, they'd say, yeah, we see, you know, and they'd give me a little wash thingy and, you know, that sort of thing. And but it would start over again. But, but it just seemed like everything that I said, I was also still having the constipation problems and really bad pains in my abdomen.
Yeah.
And they did a scan, and they didn't find that much matter in there.
Good.
Which is good, but
saying, why do I have this much pain then? No, I understand that.
Yeah.
But if they did
that, so, you know, it's...
If they did the scan, they would have seen a mass if there was something to see, and that's the good news.
Yeah, that's the good news, but the bad news is, and that's on all of this, because the legs, they didn't see anything wrong with them,
yeah.
And yet, you know, I'm not making this up. The bowels, they didn't see anything really wrong with them, and they, you know, did give me laxatives, and I was able to go. Sometimes what was happening with some of the laxatives is that I would take them and I would just urinate a lot.
Right.
And I would get dehydrated, but I wouldn't, right. You know, pass anything else. So I'm feeling like, okay, you know, I know And also, they also know it's on my record that I have issues with anxiety.
Right.
So, you know, I kind of feel like now they're just chalking all of this up to anxiety, even though they are trying to get me in with another primary and get me in to see a urologist for this other, you know. But it's like all these things going on at once, and I'm thinking, you know,
now
what do I do?
Well, the first thing I want to tell you is that blood thinners can cause constipation. And most people think of it in terms of, you know, you're going to increase bleeding, which is true, but they also have effects that interfere with, and it's a chemical thing. It's not, it interferes with the actual bowel movements we talked about before, about the physical movement. And so it slows
right.
the intestines down, and that can lead to constipation.
Yeah, but I've been going through this constipation
now
for months.
Well, yeah, and you've got something.
And before I started the blood thinners.
Right. No, you absolutely have something else going on, but I think that it is something mechanical where you're just your bowels aren't moving the way they're supposed to.
Yeah.
And this would make it worse. Right. The blood thinners can make that worse.
Yeah, and so that's the thing is like I am afraid, I don't want to be panicking every time something happens.
You're right, don't be.
But I'm afraid to take my medication because I might bleed, or they put me on a new medication to, you know, replace the one they took away that was making me feel so much, like more stomach pain and lightheadedness, and, you know, I'm afraid to take the medication. I'm afraid not to. I need to stop.
You need to be able to talk to someone about this because your anxiety will go through the roof. And what's happening
is.
Yeah, and they're giving you 5 minutes of their time. And so you're winding up with a lot more questions than answers, and you're going to get into that vicious anxiety cycle. So it's.
And it didn't help that while I was there, I kind of, you know. Just started sobbing.
Fell apart, of course.
You know,
of course.
And, you know, not putting out the impression that I usually try to.
Right, of course.
You know, a lot of people don't know that I have depression and anxiety issues because, you know, people have said, like, I remember one time this person said, oh, Fran, I wish I could be more like you. And I said, what do you mean? Oh, you're always so cheerful and happy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who are you talking about? And you take everything in stride. I'm like, what? Who?
Yeah, right, right.
You know?
Who's inhabiting this body? Yeah, I got that. But I hope you can find somebody to talk to, you know, some form of therapy where you can actually have a conversation because you're going to amplify this. It's going to become like a feedback loop that you're more afraid and more afraid and more afraid, and you don't want that to happen.
And that is what is happening. And, you know, Gary's right. You know, so you're letting fear rule your life.
Yeah, but you see, it's becoming no longer a choice.
No,
and so
that's right.
So that's why, you know, I don't know who it would be that you would talk to, but you need to find somebody to talk to because you need that right now badly.
Yeah, and then you know.
Yeah.
And then my doctor said, well, you know, we all go through changes, and I'm thinking, okay, but this is way too much. I know it's a small thing to some people, but I'm having to give up everything I like.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But that of course, is a whole other subject. I mean, in terms of we all go through changes, you don't have seven discrete symptoms. You see, there's something that ties this together, and that's where it used to be the art of medicine, where doctors would actually look at that. Now they treat symptoms. You know, it's the science of medicine.
Right.
And I
think, you know, because I have so many things going on,
right.
I think they just think, oh, she's an old lady looking for attention or something.
Right, whatever.
You know?
Yeah. It overloads them, so they'll use any excuse they can not to have to think about
it.
But
you know, some of the things don't seem to relate. Like, you know, I've got a lot of pain in my, started out with a lot of pain in my fingers.
Right. Right.
Believe it or not. And then it started going on to all these things. And, you know, I think, okay, you know, I almost think, am I nuts?
No.
You know?
No.
But there's no way, I mean, there's no reason for me to, you know, I get all the attention I need. I mean, you know, there's, I'm not one of those people that gets off on being sick.
Well, you, when are you seeing a primary care person again?
I am not even sure because I wasn't happy with the one I was seeing.
Yeah.
And so I have a telephone appointment on Monday with somebody who's going to try to set me up with somebody at Austin Regional Clinics. And just so that I can see, because they want me to see a urologist. But it's, you know, and I'm all for that, but,
I'd like you to get some type of a referral for an anxiety specialist, somebody that you can talk to, even if it's just a talk therapy at first, but, you know, you're, and I can tell, and I understand this, it's going to be like that feedback loop, and it's going to be unrelenting. And 'cause each time you get another symptom, it's like you scrape yourself off the ceiling.
I try to do everything. Like I'll try to read something,
right?
Or
try to not
listen,
think about,
you know,
it.
Listen to some music I love, or I'll keep saying, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to be fine."
Right.
You know? And then oh my God, my heart just beat weird.
Right.
What's
exactly.
Going on?
Right. So that's why I think there's probably. Especially for medical anxiety, you know, anxiety over physical things, there's probably a lot of people who specialize in this, but given your insurance and everything else, you need that referral. So,
yeah,
you want to get that.
I didn't know there were people that would specialize. I mean, I had a therapist who I fired, basically.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't getting, you know, she thought it was normal for a blind person not to want to leave the house. I was having anxiety issues. I could go to my choir practices and I could go to the doctor, but a lot of other things that I used to do, and I was never that way. I was rarely,
right.
You know, when I lived in California, I was rarely home.
Right.
You know, but here, you know, since I've moved to Austin, it's been very different. And, you know, I was blaming Austin, but it's not Austin.
No,
it's,
of course
something,
not. Of course,
something
not.
Going on with me that is making me kind of, you know, wanting to stay home all the time, and that's not good. I only feel comfortable here in my little castle.
Yeah, it's called disordered anxiety, and this is different from stress. It isn't that at all, but anxiety gets out of control, and I don't know. I think it's like 30% is a number, might be the number, where people get disordered anxiety. And because, you know, anxiety, as far as the normal nervousness or, you know, anticipation, all that's fairly normal. But when you go into a thing where you have a traumatic issue like the physical things, or if you have overwhelming stress or things like that, when you have physical health problems, it can go into a disordered anxiety where you are becoming more anxious about things because of it. That's what I mean about the loop. And so,
and you know, that was going on, you know, before the illnesses. And I've always had problems with anxiety, but I've always been able to, I can put on kind of the, you know, I can push past it.
Right, yeah, you can fake it, but actually that caused,
yeah,
in the long run, that's going to cause more of it. And so,
for the past few years, for the past couple of years, I have not been able to go out except to go to my choir practice, and
right.
Or I can go out with a friend, you know, if a friend invites me to lunch and we're going and we're, you know, I'm going with her and, you know, everything is fine.
You need somebody who is good at this, because you not need somebody who can boil it down to get to the root of the stressors. Right now, a lot of it's medical, but this has been going on a while, so it's not only medical. There are several things that are at play there, and you need someone who can help you break it down to find out where this is coming from and how to develop healthy boundaries. And that's not the kind of thing that a pill will solve. That's where you need somebody who specializes in anxiety.
Yeah, I don't want to hit the Xanax bottle too hard.
No, exactly. Well, that's just masking it. That's just like saying I'm not going to worry about it. You know, these are Band-Aids and they don't work. And you need to drill it down. And when you're in the situation you're in, it becomes almost impossible for you to do this without a guide. You know, it's not like you can say, well, I'm just going to think about this myself and come up with a solution, but you probably won't. And so, people who don't know what they're doing would just say, oh, there's no illness anxiety. It's just hypochondria. Well, that's not what we're talking about here. And so there are people who specialize in this. And that's what I would hope your primary physician can give you, is a referral or somebody in the hospital or whatever, a referral to somebody so you can start to try and get drilled to the bottom of this, because it's been coming on for a long time.
Yeah. There's a place that I just found out about through, I think it's elder care or something that has a therapist. Has therapists that will come out and talk to you. And I'm thinking, well, you know, there are a lot of people in my building that very rarely leave their apartments.
Right.
You know, I know somebody who's even afraid to go out and get her mail.
No, agoraphobia is very real. That's where this is leading, of course. And that can come from a number of places as well. And then you've also GAD, which is generalized anxiety disorder. So there are so many facets of this that, this is something where you need someone to help you navigate this who knows what they're doing. And that's one of the problems. You may have to go through a few people.
Yeah, and, a lot of people will just say, they just kind of make light of anxiety.
Right, right. Yeah, buck it up. It's not like that. Yeah.
Suck it up. Yeah,
that's right.
On.
No, you're looking for an anxiety therapist.
Okay. I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Oh, it's a big specialty. Yes.
Okay, I'll see if they can, because this elder care might know something about this, because, a lot of people deal with this as they get older.
Absolutely, so, especially if they're alone. You betcha.
Yeah. And, I have a couple of friends here, but, they can't just drop everything every time I panic and come take me to the doctor.
And that's right, but that's still treating the symptom. We got to get to the cause. All right.
Yeah.
We're done with the half hour. We've gone into commercials again. Oh, well.
I'm so sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It's my fault. Obviously, I can't tell time. But keep me posted. I will.
Know,
but I really think if you can find the right person, you can start to drill it down.
Oh, I hope so.
Me too.
Even though I've always had some anxiety, it's never been the way it's been the last few years. And
right.
It's just.
Well, and obviously trying to ignore it or buck it up or whatever isn't getting it.
Yeah, and, I would try to hide it, too.
Well, exactly. Let's mask it. Yeah. I don't feel this.
Yeah.
And if I tell myself that long enough, I won't feel it well or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's scary stuff.
So.
It is. It is. And it has a real frightening component. So I'm with you all the way.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Raleigh. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Keep me posted.
I will.
Okay,
thanks. Bye.
All right. So, I blew the news again, but Bob keeps me honest. He just plays the commercials. So let me say goodbye to Fran here. It's just you and me and people listening on the stream, obviously. And we got Johnny in Austin and Pat in Harwood Heights. All right. James on the south side of Wardo, and Jim has an update. So all that and more is coming up in the next hour and a half, I do hope. Oh, yeah. I can do a lot, but I can't go to the Time Store and buy another half hour. So I'll try not to be as long-winded. Coming up on WGN.
and let me love again.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, Rita in Harwood Heights had said she wanted to request Release Me. Now, I have a feeling she was thinking about Engelbert Humperdinck. And I decided, well, why not play Esther Phillips? Yeah, from 1962 on Lennox. That was a hit. Yeah, and of course, I could have played Kitty Wells. It could have gotten worse. And Ray Price had a hit with it, too, in 1954. And Eddie Miller originally was the original thing. But of course, a number of people and most people remember the Engelbert Humperdinck. But there's Esther Phillips. Yeah, what a difference a day makes. All right, so 888-876-5593. Johnny is in Austin. All right, Johnny, get ready for Sunday night. How's it going?
Oh, you got a lot on my mind. I called with a few little things, and between Fran's call and your Esther Phillips song there, I got so many things on my mind. I got to sort them out real quick, and I take quick notes, and I try not to be boring. But on Esther Phillips, was the flip side of Release Me called Don't Feel Rained On?
Yes.
Have you ever heard that song?
Yes, it's on Linux. It's absolutely. I've got it.
I would love to hear that. Don't Feel Rained On. Okay. Sometimes it's a good song.
Yeah.
I really love it. Yeah.
Yeah. That is the flip.
But first of all, I want to thank Gary and Fran for listening to my show the past couple of weeks, and Fran's nice comments the other night, and I did get a real nice email from Gary, and I responded to it, and I hope he got it. I don't know how he handles his emails or not, but I did, Gary, reply to your email, and I hope you got it some kind of way. But if I can get to Fran for a minute, she was talking about panic disorder and anxiety attacks and all this. I don't even know if I've ever shared this with you or not.
No, and, by the way, I know where we're going, and yes, we've talked about it at length, but go for it.
Well, I really don't have any secrets, and I have dealt with this situation for a long time. Panic attacks, fear-based, into agoraphobic, agoraphobia.
Right.
Back in the 70s, but I think it actually went back to my childhood, and it would kind of go out like the tide, and then when I would get stressed out, I would call it cumulative stress.
Right.
I would just go full blown. I can't even leave the house. And this stuff was going on back in the mid to late 70s.
Right.
And it was really stress-driven that just brought it out. And I found myself in a self-help section of, well, not one bookstore, but many, because I didn't find many psychologists even knew what the hell I was going through.
Right.
And it was crippling, and I was just completely immobilized by it. But I found a couple of books. And one of them was very helpful. I think it's out of print, but it can still be obtained, I'm sure. It's called Living Fear Free and this is not a doctor who wrote it. It's just a regular guy named
Melvin. It's Mike Evans. Isn't it Mike Evans?
No. It's not. It's Melvin D. Green.
Oh, okay.
And that book helped me a lot because there's a profile to a lot of us that are prone to anxiety and even agoraphobia, which is, if you've never been through this, you don't get it. People, if you just don't understand it until you have been down that road.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. And fortunately, over the past years, maybe because I haven't been in real radio in a long time, because that was a real stressor, I'll tell you. I haven't.
Well,
really.
Well, that's right, because you cared. You see, radio was never stressed to me because I was never trying for good, just good enough. I always had a good time.
Yeah. Well, oh, when I heard Fran talking about this, it was like, you know, looking in the mirror, because Fran, hear me. I have been down the road, and I know exactly what you're going through, and it's very hard to explain it to people who have never been there.
Uh-huh.
But check into this book, Living Fear Free. It's called Overcoming Agoraphobia, the Anxiety Panic Syndrome. And I'll tell you, I did have a couple of people that I work for that understood this. I don't know, you call it a disability, really. I mean,
right. But
Dan Mason, who I work for, got it, and he understood it. And he said, you know, it's like somebody who's had a handicap that you can see, but with this issue with you, it's a disability, but you can't see it.
Right.
And I've lived with it, and I've learned a lot about it. And this one book really helped me a lot. And there's really a profile to people like Fran and myself that are prone to it, and it's called perfection and fear and fear base. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with her.
Yeah.
and let you know that I really appreciated Gary and her being so happy listening to my Sunday night show from 6 to midnight. They were there and listened to it and said that they loved it. And there was another lady who referenced that show that I do that is in West Dundee, and I don't remember her name.
Probably Lisa.
I think that's who it was.
Okay.
But I want to thank you for all the mentions you've given me on the show, because thanks to you and your listeners, I've obtained some good feedback over what the show's only been on 3 weeks.
So tomorrow, so Sunday night from 6 to midnight on HoustonRadioPlatinum.com, or just go to Sound.
Well, you can find an easier way to get there.
Sound of the
easy
City.
Way.
Yeah, SoundOfTheCity.net or Sound of the City.
It's Soul of the City.
Soul of the City. .net will get you there, or Soul of the City US, is it USA.com?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, and it's a lot of good stuff. It's classic soul and R&B, and it's and I have been adding a lot more to the when I say air checks, your audience probably doesn't understand all that.
But sure they do. Let's just go with it. Who are you going to play Sunday night?
Well, they rotate, so I'm really not sure. But I've got some. You remember Skipper Lee, don't you?
Well,
the man who brought a mountain of soul to Houston.
Well, not only that, a whole funeral home. But
yeah. I toured the funeral home. I did. I've been there.
Skipper Lee's son's Eternal Rest Funeral Home.
There you go. Scott did the commercials for him.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
And so this isn't a ranky-danky funeral home.
Right,
it was in the copy.
That's exactly the line I loved. He says, ain't no ranky-danky funeral home. Yeah, right.
But anyway.
Wayside Drive.
But he was in KCOH for years. He was very innovative. You know, had the go-go girls dancing in the window at the radio station. And he was quite a guy. And so he did the KCOH thing for years. And then he became part owner of KCOH in Houston for a while. And then he wanted to sell his interest and said, you want to buy my interest in the station?
Yeah.
I said, why are you getting out of it? He said, I'm going to buy me a funeral home.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't have the money to buy. I think he wanted, I don't know how much money he wanted for his shares in the station, but I couldn't afford it. But I did want to bring him on KFMK to FM. And you remember the old jingle, come on over to the L&M side,
yes.
Come on over for the taste of it, the old cigarette commercial?
Sure.
I said, Skipper, one day we were talking, I said, you need to come over to the F&M side.
Yeah. Well, you did.
For the fun of it, Skip, come on over here.
You had them. You had them on KFMK.
Starting in about 1988, he was a regular a guest host with me, and I tell you, we really did click. It was fun. So I got a lot of that coming up in the rotation, and I got some John R. and the Baby Chicks. Okay. I don't know when they're going to play.
Yeah.
And then I've got King Hot Dog, Frank Hallison III, the great storyteller who was in Houston for a while back in the early 70s. and a whole lot of good music that surrounds that too, but it is called soulofthecity.net.
Right, .net or soulofthecityusa.com.
And if you're like in another country other than the UK, say maybe you're in Japan or Latvia or some of these other places, you can get there by going to MyTuner, not TuneIn, MyTuner, and then there's a couple of other independents that will put you through there because some of the countries get blocked.
Now, that's interesting. So the link on Houston Radio Platinum does not take foreign listeners?
It takes the U.S., Canada, the U.K., Mexico, and...
They've geofenced it then. They're only taking certain regions. Well...
And yes! And but anyway, if you've got, like, my tuner and this other one, I'll have to send them to you.
Yeah.
It breaks through the barrier, and you can hear it just fine worldwide, but there's some countries that... this Live 365 that it's on does not support, but you can get around that.
Interesting.
So now, I was wondering about your listener in Japan. I mean,
yeah, Naoto, sure.
Yeah, and he would probably enjoy the music on that show because in Japan there's a lot of people who love soul music. You know that.
Absolutely. Now, by the way, I want to talk about Skipper Lee a second here. When he died in 2017, my biggest shock was he was a lot younger than I ever expected. This guy was born in 1951.
Are you sure? No. That cannot be right.
That's what I wondered. Yes, yeah, born in 1951.
No, heck no. He was old. Oh, no.
That's what I thought. I thought this guy is old. But did he have a son named Skipper Lee?
I don't know, but I'll tell you. No, his real name was Lee Frazier.
Right, absolutely. That's what I saw.
But he died. He was almost 90.
That's what I thought. So who is this other Skipper Lee Frazier?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I've never heard of him.
Yeah, well, he's on one of those legacy type things. So, and I think Skipper Lee actually died a year before that. Like he was on the air in 2014. So I want to know: is it a son?
I know he's got a couple of sons.
Well, we know that
because
the funeral home was Skipper Lee and Son Funeral Home, so we know that.
Yeah, I know. I don't. That's news to me, but it's not. That's not him because he almost made 90.
Okay.
And you know, it makes me so mad at myself because I talked to him so many times. I want to do an interview with you and I want to record it all about your history and all this and stuff. And it's one of those things like, yeah, we'll get around to that. And it never happened.
I hate that. Yeah. Lee J. Frazier was his name. And yeah, I bet you one of his kids. Now I got to find out.
By the way, you were talking about Bull Moose Jackson.
Yes.
I just really discovered him a couple of years ago, and he did a heck of a version of, I think it was a hit by Farron Young, but it's called If You Ain't Lovin', You Ain't Livin'.
Yeah.
And it's not charted, but Bull Moose Jackson, that's how I really discovered him, was that song. And it's really good. Did you know it?
Yeah, you knew Big Ten Inch, though. Everybody knew that.
Yeah, I knew that. But he did some beautiful ballads, too, and I bought one of these stupid King CDs, which is like a sampler, and on some of the songs, they just fade them out.
Right.
And so I just went on this mission to get all the Bull Moose Jackson I could, but it was that. And he also did that really cool song called I Love You, Yes I Do that Frogman Henry did later. I guess Bull Moose was the first to do that, huh?
Well, that was 61. It was the flip side of Aw Shucks on Seven Arts. And yeah, was he the first? I don't know on that, but I got the record. It's on Seven Arts, and Aw Shucks, Baby, is the flip side. And, yeah, in fact, it's probably right here. Let me find it as we speak. Yeah, here we go.
He was good.
Well, you say that like you're shocked. All right, so.
Well, no, I mean, I just.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I know you know it's true.
Glover wrote that.
Hmm, who is that?
Oh no, you got to know Henry Glover. Everybody knows Henry. If you know King and all of that, but he was an A&R guy. And originally from Arkansas, and he worked for virtually everybody, whether it was King or whether it was Roulette or whatever. But he's one of those guys that name's going to come up again and again if you start looking at your records.
Hmm. And well, that's a new one to me. But this Bull Moose Jackson was good.
Oh, absolutely. And Henry started out as a trumpet player. And he was huge as far as a record executive. In fact, as far as African Americans, next to Berry Gordy, you're probably going to say Henry Glover, because he was absolutely big. Now, of course, he didn't own King, obviously, but he was their A&R guy, and he was big. He was originally in Buddy Johnson's and Lucky Millinder's and all that. And then he met Sid Nathan, of course, who owned King. And Sid was no fool, and he immediately made him the A&R guy for King. But he split with King and went to Roulette. And that's where, if you wonder why Roulette signed Sarah Vaughan or Dinah Washington or Ronnie Hawkins, this was all Henry Glover. And in fact, his backing band was the Hawks, that was the studio band for all that stuff. And he wrote Let the Little Girl Dance, that Billy Bland recorded. And in fact, when Morris Levy got G after, our poor friend George Goldner gambled that away again, so Morris Levy got it and got him out of trouble, he made Henry Glover head of G. And his first release was Heart and Soul. And,
Heart and Soul by the... Are you talking about he did Heart and Soul, or are you talking about the...
No, the Cleftones.
Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, the Cleftones, that was him. He co-wrote Peppermint Twist. He wrote California Sun that the Rivieras did, and not only the Rivieras.
I like that too, yeah.
Yeah, no. He produced the Essex, Easier Said Than Done.
Uh-huh.
And, he was huge, so as far as that goes. And, of course, California Sun was, we know it by the Rivieras, but that was originally by Joe Jones.
And, I heard the original. I didn't really care for it that much. And I'm more of an R&B guy, but I think the pop version was better.
Yeah, well, it was better produced. That's for sure. But, yeah, he wrote it. So, that's why I'm a little surprised you didn't know him. But you will now. You'll see him all over the place.
I was going to ask you about something. God, there's so many things that just came. Because many times I want to call in, but I don't have anything to talk about. So
Doing that. Hang on a minute, because I'm not keeping up with the breaks, and I don't know where they are, and I'm probably giving poor Bob a heart attack. So stay where you are. All right, and we'll figure this out on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, we'll forego the bumper because we've got 3 minutes to talk about, and I don't want to give up the time talking to Johnny Goen. All right, so what else do we need to cover?
Oh, I just wanted to mention a couple of songs that I thought about that I really like. Chuck Jackson, you don't hear it a bunch anymore, and actually I kind of forgot about it. If I Didn't Love You.
Oh, sure.
And he did a great one called I Need You, which was you never hear anymore. And then, of course, I mentioned the Esther Phillips Don't Feel Rained On.
Yeah, I'll play that.
I just love that. And do you recall a song on Peacock Records by Jackie Verdell called YKW?
Yes, absolutely. I've got that.
Oh, that is such a cool song.
Okay.
Cool to me, and I think a lot of people would really like
it.
But, and I was thinking about Curtis Mayfield, who I met back in 1967. He was a good man. And I was just thinking about all the great songs he wrote. And you know what? The stuff he wrote for Major Lance was just fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Love Major Lance.
Oh, me too.
Such happy songs, a rhythm, and they know, even if it was a song that had a sad title, it was happy. I never heard. Well, maybe the only down one he had was You'll Want Me Back, but Major Lance was something else. You know, the days of the mid-60s and soul radio were my real favorites. And
absolutely.
This radio show that I do is really focused in that direction. A lot of upbeat stuff. Some ballads, but a lot of the mid-60s, really good stuff.
Oh, yeah. You could do a whole show on Major Lance.
I'd love to, believe me.
Yeah, please don't say no more.
Oh, and come see, and rhythm, that's probably rhythm. My favorite.
Yeah.
But anyway, for those of your listeners who have listened to my show on Sunday nights, I really appreciate it, and you've done a lot to help it grow, and that's hard to do on internet radio. It really is. So thank you for all your positive reinforcement and all your suggestions and all that, and to your listeners who have checked it out, thank you very much.
And you've just ended the hour, and I will have links to all this on Raleigh.net so we don't miss it this coming Sunday, and I can't wait to talk to you next week.
Have a good one, Raleigh.
You too,
and
thanks.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right, I hope so. All right, so that's where we are, and we got another hour of this, so please hang on there, and we'll do it right after the news right here on WGN Radio. Lester Phillips, and that's the flip side of Release Me on Lennox. Lennox was a little New York label. They also owned a label called Adlib, and neither of them had much of anything. But later, what was interesting on that is Atlantic re-released some of their stuff. The Medallions were on it for a minute or two, I think. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Mary, downstate in Illinois, are you still with us, Mary? No.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Thank you for waiting. What's up tonight?
I'm listening. How are you, anyway?
I can't complain. How about yourself?
I'm getting better all the time.
Yay.
It's so hard to listen when people call in and they're not well and healthy.
Yeah.
And get out of here, you guys. Butch and Sundance joining in here.
I'm glad you have pets and not ghosts.
So, and the traditional medical business,
yeah,
medical science is often not helpful.
Yes. There,
and when these forms of dealing with people's health came along, I mean, there are many systems before that time where people were healed in a system, you know. Of course, there was always a herbal lady in the woods, but in a organized systems, there are some that have been around for a long time. I will tell you just about a couple quickly from my own experience, and I talked to you before. I think I mentioned that I'm a retired Marine, and I have a blood cancer that was likely involved with that active duty.
Mm.
And I see an oncologist and have the test done, and so forth, that I, for help and healing, I see an Ayurvedic doctor.
Uh-huh.
And Ayurveda is like the oldest medical system. It's even older than Chinese acupuncture.
Yeah, it's Indian. I've tried it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, in my experience with being treated, and I take one remedy with that, and, you know, you learn some breathing things and so forth. But anyway, much to the oncologist's consternation, I'm getting better.
Good for you.
Yeah, so, but there's other things that are simpler that I wanted to mention. Homeopathy.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about homeopathy, because, of course, Hahnemann Hospital in Philadelphia started out as a homeopathy hospital, and now if you Google the word homeopathy, it says pseudoscience, but a number of people have done very well with it, and there's one thing that a lot of people take, and it's absolute homeopathy that Boiron makes, and that's acylococcinum, and I swear to God, it keeps colds away.
Yes.
Works like a charm.
Yes.
So, believe me, I've got so many different homeopathy preparations and you know, a lot of sleep aids and things like that, things that, you know, some of them don't work, but a lot of them do.
Yes. And the thing is, you know, you can do searches on the internet, and of course you want to pay attention to where you're going.
Yes.
Now, for Ayurveda, like say a search Ayurveda for blood cancer, or someone I met here had a child and they were born with a condition caused by two recessive genes, which is like butterfly skin. That's not the Latin name. And so I, being curious, I searched Ayurveda for that condition, and reading the reports from NIH, and NIH is not involved. They don't care, you know,
right,
one way or another. And so there's, you know, a report of healing of someone. And as I said, it's caused by two recessive genes, so it doesn't seem likely to heal. But, you know, open ourselves up to the possibilities. Homeopathy is a quick and easy way to get relief, and it's, once when I was in D.C., I saw a bumper, license plate had a sticker on it that said homeopathy, the safe medicine. And if you read the directions, I mean, sometimes it's appropriate for kids who are 6 years old, you know.
It's definitely safe, you know, because what we're talking about, like versus with like, and the dosage is diluted to such a point that there's no way it's not safe. The question is it effective?
Yes.
But with Ayurvedic, you really need to know what you're doing, because some of that stuff can hurt you. You know, some of that stuff,
you've got to see a doctor.
Yes, you do. And I was
doing
that for a while.
Yeah. My doctor studied in India for 8 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a simple thing, you know. But for some relief, for some symptoms, like one of the ladies who was calling earlier, along with this condition that I have nosebleeds, and a heavy nosebleed that would last for 20 minutes, and, you know, I would do my pressure and things like that. And then I thought, well, I'm going to look for homeopathy, and I did a search, you know, homeopathy for nosebleeds, and one of the remedies, now, you know, it's, you know, these pellets, you get a little tube of the pellets.
Put them under your tongue.
It's about 200 there, and a normal dosage is like 5 pellets under the tongue.
Right.
So when I...
Well, did you try arnica? What did you try?
What came up in the search was, you know, there are always several alternatives.
Right.
what came up in the search that I already had was belladonna.
Sure.
And so I, you know, don't have great expectations ever, but my nosebleed stopped, and I would have it like for 2 days in a row and then a break. And then when I used the belladonna, mm-hmm. I timed it, and it was like the time that it took the pellets to dissolve under my tongue, four minutes, and the bleeding stopped. And it was, like I said, it was heavy bleeding with, you know, clotting and everything, but 4 minutes of that remedy. And I don't understand in detail. I went to a nurse one time during menopause for, and she was a homeopathic nurse, and it's kind of like you take something that provokes the symptom,
right,
that you're wanting to relieve. So one of the strange ones is you're having hot flashes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Flushing of the skin. So what in nature gets that response from a human? And it's kind of like a little, you know, hair of the dog that bit you.
Right.
And it provokes your immune response. So the remedy for certain types of hot flashes is snake venom.
Mm-hmm.
Because it snake bites you, causes that flushing, you know, of the skin and everything. And so the, you know, the remedy they made. So you probably know, but maybe not everybody does, the homeopathic remedies are made in France.
Yeah, mostly Boiron.
Germany.
And that snake,
yes, uh-huh,
venom, when you see it, it's not going to say snake venom. It's going to say lachesis.
No,
L-A-C-H-E-S-I-S, lachesis.
Yes.
And yeah, believe me, I think I have everything Boiron's ever made.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, let's talk about it, because it helps. I mean, it, you know, it, and it won't hurt. That's the thing. I'm
right. Hypersensitive.
I don't take any medications. You know, thank God. But yeah, it can, you know, it can give you relief, and without, you know, without harming. Like I said, you can get it at Amazon. You can order, you know,
all the stuff on Boiron. You can
Walgreens show. And yeah.
And the other thing is,
when they have,
I was going to say, when they have remedies, there's more than one. Like, lachesis may work for
exactly.
you. It may not for somebody else. You might do better
yes.
with sulfur. You know, you might do better with
mm-hmm.
with glonium. You know, there,
yes,
there's
exactly.
so many different things, even sepia. But, you know, so...
Yes, exactly.
You got to find the one that's treating you. And again, I can say this. Normally, I hesitate to ever say anything on the air because I'm no doctor. Believe me, I'm no doctor.
No.
But homeopathic, yeah, a lot of people say that it's pseudoscience, but nobody's going to tell you it's harmful.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I don't believe anything you tell me. And
good,
you know,
good,
but,
absolutely.
You know,
go for that.
I do it, and I get, you know, I get relief, and yeah, it makes a difference. And like you said, there's several, you know, there's always several recommendations, and
right.
you know, try what's available, and you know, and things like that. So that it's you know a great source of relief.
It's worth trying, that's for sure.
Yes, yes, because I don't tolerate discomfort or pain or anything very well. And so let's see, I made some notes here. For the anxiety attacks, Ignatia.
Okay.
Homeopathy is a great one, and because I've been through those also. But there's a number of different things. When I got off active duty, I went to college, and there was all kinds of things happening with my family, and I was sitting in a classroom, and I felt like the room was closing in on me. This is back, you know, in the 70s, and it was a panic attack, but, yeah. You know, people didn't have them back then. And I stopped on the way home at a doctor's, and he said, I'm, you know, kind of speaking an even tone and so forth. I mean, you know, Marines do that. We don't get excited. And he said, well, I think you're depressed. And I said, I don't think I am. And, of course, this is superior knowledge, gave me something for depression. And it had the exact opposite effect that I needed, and I ended up in the hospital.
Oh,
so
God.
I questioned after that, you know, and I don't take any of those kind of medications, you know.
Well, yeah.
And mostly what they do is suppress symptoms.
That's
know?
Right.
And your body heals itself.
Right. That's absolutely true. Yeah. But anybody wondering, just listen to the disclaimers on any of those ads. You know, after you see what it may do to you, it's like, no, thank you. I'd rather have the condition, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And another thing, like I said, I'm more than 80 years old, and I don't have any cartilage in my knees.
Uh-huh.
And, but I walk around and I don't have pain. And the reason is acupuncture. I go to an acupuncturist from China.
Right.
And he's also a medical doctor in China, but right. He only practices acupuncture here. But you want to get, you know, the real deal and to balance out that energy and reduce the inflammation. And like I said, I'm, you know, 82 with bone on bone, and I walk around and, I don't have pain. I don't do well with pain at all.
Well, who does? But it's interesting you mention that because there's something called neuroacupuncture. And John, who had a hemorrhagic stroke in the thalamus, you know, went as far as he could go with physical therapy where that
wow.
was. And so after, but he's in pain, constant pain, because it's a bad place to get a stroke.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, the guy who pretty much invented neuroacupuncture, turns out, is in Arizona. And he is a Chinese medical doctor, although originally he was from Greece, but he's written Chinese medical textbooks, you know, in Chinese, and he knows his stuff. And for the first time, John has seen some relief. Now, it's not, you know, 100%, nowhere near, but I'd say 40% relief, which is a miracle. So, you know, if you get somebody who really knows what they're doing, acupuncture can be terrific.
Yes, it provokes a healing response.
Yeah.
It's not like you get an instant result. You know, and when I started smoking when I was about 10 or 11 years old, and I smoked for 23 years, resulting in asthma, surprise, surprise.
You're right.
And I saw a thing on television, again, this is back in the 70s, and for some reason on the news, and this man had called in, and he... they were doing a report on him, and he had pancreatic cancer, and he was healed of it. And, you know, it's only like a 1 or 2%, you know, survival rate. And he was healed through macrobiotics. That was popular a little bit in the 70s. It was in the public, you know, eye. And so I had asthma, and I thought, well, that helped him, you know, should help me. And I rode the subways at lunchtime trying to find, and I finally found a book, and then I found a practitioner.
Yeah.
And I went to classes, and I learned cooking, and I even went to a macrobiotic camp. It was a wonderful experience in the Poconos. And I don't have asthma anymore.
That's wonderful.
Since then. Yeah, so it's, you know, healing spot, we're designed to heal, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. This has been a great call. I know Bob's about to cut me off because it's time for a break, but I am so glad you called and so glad you waited. And call me again, Mary. I would appreciate it.
Okay. Well, great talking with
Thanks.
You. And let's get people well. Huh?
Absolutely. Thanks for calling. All right. So
all right,
we'll be back after this on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and there she is, yes, the woman who influenced Aretha Franklin, Jackie Burdell. Now, she's from Philadelphia originally, and she was on Savoy doing gospel, and that's when she really, really influenced Aretha, and she said, Aretha, in her autobiography, it said, it was through Jackie I learned the expression, girl, you peed tonight. Meaning you were dynamite, and Jackie on stage would sing so hard, literally there was like a spot or two on her robe from, peeing. And so Aretha admitted, I did here and there in my early days too, but I realized no one should sing that hard. Well, Verdell did. And I don't know how Verdell got in with Don Robey on Peacock. He supposedly wrote YKU, and of course you know who, that's YKU. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Pat is in Harwood Heights, maybe. We'll see if Pat's still with us. Are you there, Pat? No, we lost Pat. Pat went to sleep. Well, let's see if Jim in Richmond is still awake. Hard telling, but we're about to find out. So, Jim, are you still with us?
Hi, Raleigh.
Hey,
you know,
Jim.
I called at 10 o'clock this
I know,
this
but
evening,
it doesn't work that way, as you probably know. When we get people who haven't been on the air much, they're going to go to the head of the class.
Right. And I want to start out with, can we put together my FundMe page for Fran and get her to go to the Mayo Clinic?
Oh, that's so nice of you. I don't think that's an option, but there might be something we could do along those lines.
Right.
So,
she's not getting the care.
No,
that
she's not
requesting,
and she's not getting the care she needs. And unfortunately, Texas takes Medicaid and puts it under what is really, for lack of another way to say it, a bad HMO. And so there's a lot of things that she's not getting. But, I'm going to watch that. And that's a good idea. Maybe there is something at some point we can do. Thank you for that. Now, how's your sister?
Not good.
Oh.
My brother called me today, and she is no longer bleeding from the rectum. She's bleeding from the vagina.
Okay.
And they're got a gynecologist, and they're looking into that. And they're looking at her uterus, and I'm just freaking out because
everything
is falling
apart. Let me tell you about this. Isn't she on some type of a blood thinner because of the other problem she's having?
She was on a blood thinner, and they took her off.
Yeah, but still, it's not an overnight thing. It's not unusual to have rectal or vaginal bleeding, and so don't think the worst yet, because it may not be.
And then my brother's wife went into the hospital today because she collapsed. And she also was bleeding. And he said that her leg was bleeding because of all the gauze changings and everything they were doing.
Oh, God.
And but the good news is she's growing new skin.
Yay, but that's excellent.
She's back in the hospital.
Okay.
And I'm just, like, freaking out.
No, you don't go there. Just be strong. And, you know, there's so many things that you're facing, as you well know, that you can't afford to expend energy on things that you cannot control or cure.
There's, right.
You know, you're not in a position to do anything directly. So the biggest thing you can do is take care of yourself. And like we've talked before, the decreasing vision is only going to get worse, not better. And it is. Yeah, that's right. And it will. And I wish I was wrong. But this is the time, like I always say, you know where I'm going with this. You need to continue to do everything to become independent.
Right. And right now, as we talk tonight, I'm giving up. I'm going to, in my mind, I want to cancel all my appointments and say, I'm giving up.
Well, that's, you know, I'm not going to talk you out of that, but I don't think that's your best option. You know, because one thing, if you're saying I'm giving up, I'm just going to die, you may not die that quickly. You might be around a lot longer than you know. These are the times that kind of shows your mettle, shows what you're made of in terms of, you know, that the condition is going to get worse, not better, and it is up to you to find all of the workarounds. And we've talked about a lot of them, and some of them you've tried to embrace, and some of them you kind of reject, but you're in a position where you can't afford to reject any of this. You have to step up and do it for yourself.
Right. And I want to tell you that I've been trying everything.
Well,
voicemail does not work for me. It's a pain in the neck.
Well, but there's you don't give up. You find another way to do it, and it's not just going to be Siri. You find all sorts of things. There are so many different things that you keep going until you find the one that works.
Right, and I'm just totally,
I know,
in my life, frustrated because every morning I wake up and my vision is worse.
Yes, and it's going to get worse. That's something you can take to the bank, Jim. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to make it any other way. The doctors have pretty much told you, you're not going to get that miraculous cure. I mean, I shouldn't say that because, you know, the Lord could cure you tonight for all I know. But assume that it's not some divine healing. The chances are you can count on it getting worse. And so what you need to do is accept that, believe it, and look for the workarounds.
Right. And, you know, since I called you at exactly 10 p.m.,
right,
that I am willing to listen to what you're saying.
Believe me, I know. But yeah, it's hard, too. But it's much easier to say, I give up. But, you know, and especially when the first few things you're trying aren't doing what you need them to do. But there are, you know, tens of thousands of people with no sight who are navigating their lives without help for the most part. And you can be one of them. And you still have enough sight that will help you be able to get these tools. But it's time is not your ally on this. Like you say, every day you're getting worse. Well, so every day is an opportunity to learn another way to do something.
Right. Can I talk to you about another thing?
Sure, go for it.
My friend in, you know, she's so into solar, you know, energy and the energy coming in.
Uh-huh.
And there's been a lot of small aircraft crashes, at least a half a dozen in the last 2 weeks. And you're having experiencing with your computer. Could it be that it's the energy hitting your computers?
No. I'd like to think it is, but no. The problem is that I should have retired these long ago. They're on their last legs, and it is time to update them. I just haven't wanted to take the time because I reformat the drives from scratch and then put on what I want and all that, and it's a somewhat of a time-consuming process to get the OS I want on there and everything else. So it's literally because I should have done this a year ago.
Because she keeps calling me up and saying things aren't going to be great because of energy surges and solar flares. And she said, if your phone goes out, it's from those.
Well, that can be, but, you know, I mean, as far as that goes. But, you know, you can look at the solar weather forecast at any time. You're always...
She does.
Yeah, and you could, too, if it was if that was interesting to you. And, of course, NASA told us we were going to get massive solar storms and blackouts this year. And the problem is the X2.7 class flare, and that's strong. And so, you know, as far as that goes, the horrifying thing is that it's possible that through a solar flare that it could disrupt all of the telecommunications and computer-based networks. And anybody who thinks that can't happen is absolutely, absolutely crazy. You know, who knows? I mean, I certainly hope that doesn't happen, but could it? Yeah. You know, the big event, as you know, what everybody refers to is the Carrington event, and that was 1859. And
she said that it's coming very rapidly.
Right, we don't know. It's a forecast. That's like the weather forecast telling you it's going to be a thunderstorm tonight. Maybe. You know, you can't guarantee these forecasts. You know, we can guarantee that, yes, there will be another solar flare of a certain magnitude. But no, you can't guarantee that it's coming next Tuesday. So, you know, so far from what I understand, there's no evidence of any flare equal to the Carrington flare. But we can see. You know, I don't know.
I want to end with, we should all get together and try to help Fran.
All right. Good deal. Well, thanks, Jim, and thanks for waiting. I appreciate it. I hope the weekend brings you some peace somehow.
And to you, you get a day off tomorrow.
Oh, I wish.
And this is the first holiday that you don't have to work.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, but yeah, like I say, I've got my radio stations that are choreographing the 4th of July, and it better go off well. So we'll see. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
it. And have a great weekend.
Okay, I'll try. You too. All right, so yes, indeed. 888-876. Well, I'm not giving the phone number out because I'm not going to get to everybody who's hanging on, and I apologize for that. Let me do this first, and then we'll get right back to it on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, we'll forego the bumper as we have very, very little time left. I want to see if we can get to as many people as possible. So did we try Pat in Harwood Heights? I think she left us, but I'll give it another go. Pat, are you there? Okay, well, hopefully Pat is sleeping well. And we talked to Mary. I don't know whether Eduardo in Tampa is still with us. So, Eduardo, are you there? Okay, probably left Eduardo for the night. So we'll say goodbye to Eduardo and see whether Carl in Riverside is with us. You there, Carl?
It's gone. Eduardo gone. Carl here.
All right, Carl.
Yes.
What's up?
Hey, Dr. Raleigh.
Uh-huh.
I just want to say, really, that yeah, I hear you. That last gentleman, his name is Jim?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel for him.
I do, too.
You know, I hear him upon occasion. So, yeah. But hey, if I could snap my fingers and I would do it, believe me.
Yeah, I know.
For everybody.
Exactly.
But, okay, moving on, though. But, yeah, he, I feel it in my heart when he talks. Okay, real quick, sage advice to all your wonderful listeners for the 4th of July. Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
Okay. Do not go forth on the 4th with a 5th, for you may not go forth on the 5th. Do you concur with what I infer?
Well, especially if you've got fireworks.
Yeah. Remember, if you choose to booze, you just may lose and wind up in the obit news.
Oh, God. All righty.
That's it. I'll get back to you another time with Horst Jankowski and Perez Prado.
Oh, yes. I love Horst Jankowski. Well, at least Walk in the Black Forest. Not so much Nola, but we could play some other stuff. Yeah, absolutely. All right, thanks.
It's a
wonderful song.
Happy song.
Yes, it is a great song. Back, you betcha. You betcha.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Listen, try and squeeze in a couple more. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. I loved Walking to Black Forest, and that's when instrumentals were hits because everybody timed themselves to news. And so I've always thought, you know, they shouldn't be called like a Walk in the Black Forest. They should all be called This Will Take Us Up to News. All right, we've got James on the South Side. All right, James, what's up?
I wish you a happy fourth. One song to add to my list. Marvin Gaye, What's Going On?
Yes. Well, better than Sexual Healing, okay.
Yes. One story you might want, an 83-year-old lady who ended up in jail because she had a name that was almost similar to a suspect that, ironically, they were already holding.
Oh, that's great.
Who had to the court.
That's great. What city was this?
Okay, this is Cobb County, Georgia.
Oh, that's Atlanta. Okay, so it's suburban Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay, like Roswell or, you know, Sandy Springs. That's all.
And the thing was, she was
drug trafficking. Alice Cordell, an 83-year-old woman in Cobb County, wrongfully arrested. How about that? And that's great. Her name was one letter away from being the actual suspect. Well, you'd think that when they saw she was 83, they would figure it out. But she spent 6 hours in jail. This is hilarious. This is hilarious for me because I'm not spending 6 hours in jail. She was on her way home earlier in June, a couple weeks ago, in Bartow, actually, where a police officer ran her license plate and discovered she had a warrant for meth trafficking. So she ended up in a holding cell, and inmates gave her some socks to help her stay warm, and her grandson said the Cobb County District Attorney's Office refused to speak with him without a lawyer. So while his grandmother remained in jail, the family had to get a defense attorney on the case and learned the actual suspect was arrested in 2024 and had been attending court. So the difference between grandma and the actual defendant was one letter. The lady's name was Alyssa. Regardless, I don't think Alyssa was 83. And so
you would think that just a picture alone would have basically have said, I think we messed up here.
Well, and I think that this woman has a case, as far as I'm concerned.
The comments basically said, sue the pants off.
I would, and the reason I would is because of the idea that the DA would not talk with her grandson until he got an attorney. So, at the very least, sue for the attorney's fees. That's just horrifying. Hopefully, they'll just give her money.
Yeah, because that was particularly criminal.
Yeah,
and the irony is the criminal, the guys who were the women who were locked up were at least more kind than the and
right exactly. And, well, they felt sorry for her, and I'm not surprised.
Yeah, because they probably said, somebody really screwed up here.
So 83-year-old Alice was not meth trafficking. Good to know. All right. Good story. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
And I just really looked at it before I saw the Pyrenees thing wasn't anything that.
Oh, that was hilarious. Yeah, and we should mention that I got an email from James, and it was terrible because somebody left like 2-week-old Pyrenees at a gas station. The Pyrenees are now like 4 and 5 weeks old, which is still far too young not to have mom. But the place where are going to put her up for adoption showed pictures, and they say Great Pyrenees mix. These dogs look like Leonberger. I don't see any Great Pyrenees in them, but it'll be interesting to see. But they're awfully cute, and I wish they were with Mom.
Yeah. Okay.
Right,
and
thanks.
Jim, I don't give up. I mean, life is a four-quarter game.
There you go. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. So you, take care. You too. Bye. Yeah. I still can't believe, you know, they say, well, her name's one letter away. No, forget about any letters. Let's go with numbers. 83 years old. All right. Ruth and Gurney, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Thank you for taking my call. I want to send a special God bless America, America the Beautiful, for their birthday. And I want to offer a, through St. Raphael the Archangel, who does healing, a mass that I had said for WGN listeners, for the Marine Corps veteran. We have a family member with the last name Blood. Bloody well good. We lost him from malaria, World War II. And we have five of the Marines in the family, all of them North Vietnam, Korea. We would like to also say that I was a Red Cross volunteer at Naval Station Great Lakes during Vietnam. And I want to just put a God bless you out to that lady that called prior to the other two gentlemen, three gentlemen. I would also like to say that as a graduate from the finest high school in the city of Chicago, the first, St. Mary's, Sister Mary Victory told me that Sister Mary Eberilda, who taught Latin, and I went into that classroom to be near my National Honor Society friends because I was failing in everything. She gave me the holy terror of the school, gave me a passing grade in Latin, and I learned the most two important statement words, Semper Fi, for all the Marines that I have had in my family. Family to family, God bless you, Mary. And I normally don't go for an old bag like me with a healing and that kind of thing because I had 1 year to live in 1995. And the best hospital out there is St. Ignatius of Loyola, the University Hospital.
All right. Well, I got 30 seconds. I got 30 seconds to talk, so we're done.
Wait,
all right.
You hear what
no, I can't. The show's
minutes.
Over. You don't understand.
Good night.
Okay. Bye. Yeah. People just don't understand the clock. I cannot buy minutes, no matter how often I try. All right. So that's the deal. Tomorrow night is a replay of Monday Night Trivia, and then Monday we'll be live with Monday Night Trivia. So that's the next live show, and until then, that's a wrap. Now we thank Bob for keeping us on the air tonight and for keeping me in line as much as that's possible, which isn't much. We thank John for screening all your calls, but above all, I thank all of you who called. It was a pleasure to do the show because of this, and my apologies to those we didn't get to. Yeah, I'll try not to be as long-winded next week. That won't happen, of course, but I'll try. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.